Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And hey, how about B-Town? Welcome into The Usual Suspects on an F-Yeah Friday. Coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. We are happy to have you along for the ride, so fasten your seatbelts and away we go. It is Joel and Cody Stutes here from Luke's, as Barry is still on his comedy tour, although based on Twitter, I believe he's on his way back to the great state of Texas, or at least in it. Nick is back at the studio keeping us on the ones and twos, and we are ready to bring it all through for you for the next 3 hours. So with all that being said, what's up, boys? Checking in. Cody, thanks for showing up, and not a minute too soon. What's going on in everybody's world these days?
Not much. I love that drive. That's an easy drive.
Easy. Well, how about you let me know on the way after you get on the way back?
Oh, well, is there?
I love
the way
down here. It is so easy, and again, no traffic today. I actually had to kill time because I got down here too early.
Yeah.
The way back, like you will see me packing up at 3:50.
Yeah.
I will be on the road by 4:05 and guaranteed before I hit Pasadena and then all the way through downtown up 59. I am going to be screwed without any kind of lube, and it is not going to be fun. That's just the way it happens.
Ah, well.
Now, I will say this. 2 weeks ago when we were here, for some odd reason, I didn't hit the normal burst of traffic right by Pasadena.
Uh-huh.
And then I took a chance, and I got off at the 59 I-10 junction right there by Minute Maid.
Okay.
Went behind Minute Maid, through Midtown, caught the spur, and as much as everybody praises God, God somehow decided that traffic should stop in front of Joel Osteen's place
on a
daily basis, even if there's no accident.
Yeah.
Two Fridays ago, there was no traffic there, and I in the back of my mind, I heard, and I made it home in 2 hours.
There you go.
So that was
that's good. That's
only
good
timing. A half hour longer than it took to get down here.
Yeah, yeah. No, the drive went bad, stopped, and got you some blueberry yogurt-covered pretzels.
After you got your beaver nuggets and your snacks, did you get the big gulp?
Oh, well, see, at Bucky's, it's 79 cents for the giant one, so I got a giant Diet Mountain Dew.
Not two of them, just one?
No, just one.
Did you get a bottle for the refill?
No, bottle for the refill.
Okay.
No.
I did notice, too, that Nicholas was involved. Nick, you were involved in some Twitter banter about your poo-pooing all over Cherry Coke Zero.
Well, yeah, that was during the show yesterday with Crystal Collins, because she's a big fan of that with whiskey. I forgot who else I was going back and forth with, but it was fun. It was fun.
So, yeah, Yeah, several people were chiming in on their opinions about the greatness of Cherry Coke Zero.
I didn't know that many people liked it, honestly. I stand corrected.
Just don't be on the wrong side of history on that, Nick.
Okay.
You know, just don't be on the wrong side of history.
If we were in studio today, Nicholas, I would have stopped and brought you some. I really would have.
Well, I mean, you're way over there.
I would have forced you to try it on air.
If you promise me to try it, I'll bring you a 2-liter. I got plenty.
I'll try.
Dane will bring you the cup. You just have to bring the saran wrap.
Your own straw. Oh, man.
So we're just getting started. Did y'all watch the football game last night? Or did you watch that Rockets debacle? Because holy cow, just when you thought it was safe to stop picking on the Rockets. Oh, boy.
That was – I mean, there were multiple times last night where I just looked at that game, was watching it happen, and I just was like, this is a rough watch. Like, even when the Rockets were going to lose games in the past couple of years, like, they were a fun watch usually just because they could hit some shots and – maybe they wouldn't play much defense, but bad defense, worse offense. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is embarrassing himself on the basketball court. Like, come on. What is going on?
Did you watch it,
ugly.
Nick?
I was watching it at a bar, and I stopped watching, like, in the third quarter. No offense. The worst thing you want right now is an offensive issue, and that's what they have because everybody was going into the season more concerned about their defense. And look, man, when James Harden and Chris Paul are not doing well, the team is not going to do well in a lot of times.
So here's the thing, right? You and I have been kicking it around for quite some time. The defense isn't right. We're waiting on Bezdelic to get that straightened out. But the one thing that we've kind of been on the same page all along is the fact that you don't have to worry about the Rockets in offense because they can score points. But right now they can't score points. And then the excuses came in. Well, it's too early in the season. Well, you've got injuries. Well, yeah, Eric Gordon's out right now, but the guys that you're relying on that are supposed to be in your rotation to score points aren't making, can't hit the broadside of a barn, and can't even come close to making shots. And if I told you that they were the 24th ranked team in the league in terms of pace of play, would it not surprise you just a little bit, even if you're one of those Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans that believe it's all going to work itself out in just a mere matter of games?
That would surprise me. That really would. This is not the type of team that should be playing that way.
24th in pace of play for a team that's supposed to be doing 7 seconds or less, threes and layups, no mid-range jump shots, and putting the screws to whatever team they're playing. They are getting beat on both ends of the floor, and they're getting beat like a drum in a high school band competition. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun for Rockets fans. And then I had people hitting me up saying, oh, they're almost celebrating Steph Curry got hurt last night because that's going to make a difference. So what does that move you up, from the 6 seed to the 5 seed? Because right now you're not any better than that. And as much as everybody crapped all over the Lakers early on, and I was one of the first ones to say, they're not only not a top 2 Western Conference team, I think they're a bottom 3. But I think the Rockets are right there with them right now until they get their crap together.
It's not good. It's on the road, Oklahoma City, 18 points, and Westbrook's out?
That's inexcusable.
Like, if Westbrook was playing, maybe I see that thing getting out of hand and they just drive up the score. But Westbrook's out and nothing was working. I mean, Chris Paul looked bad. James Harden couldn't get going on a consistent basis. And then Carmelo Anthony, is he done?
Like, guess who was the first person to be interviewed after the game last night in the Rockets locker room?
I got a
sweet guess. It wasn't your MVP. It wasn't your Hall of Fame point guard. It was the emotional one, Carmelo Anthony, to see how he was feeling after his first visit to OKC, which I could care less about. I care more about the fact that they got their ass handed to them at OKC without Westbrook.
There's not even, like, really a story there. Like, he was there for 1 year. It's not like he was going back to New York. He went 1 for 11 and
0 for 7 from 3.
It's just, it looks so bad from him. And you have to wonder. Look, it's 10 games. I know you're not going to overreact to 10 games. That's an eighth of the season.
Yep.
An eighth of the season, and you played terrible basketball. And, look, the defense, if it gets shored up just a little bit, that'll help some of this offense. But you can't have guys just out and out missing shots, and you can't sit there and say, oh, well, Eric Gordon's out, and point to that being one of the reasons that you scored 80 points. Joel, 80 points in today's basketball?
We got done, and I got done highlighting for you guys less than a week ago about how every team in the league was scoring over 100 points. Most were scoring over 120 points, and that offense was at an all-time high. And if there was any problems with offense, it was coming from the Eastern Conference with teams like Boston and Toronto want to slug it out. And Toronto scoring points. But when you score 80 points on national TV and you were worried about Charles Barkley killing them, He had every right to kill him up, down, backward, forward, and kick him out the door last night because it was that bad.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's one thing when you can say, well, yeah, we're lacking a little bit on defense, but it's going to be fine. They're going to work itself out. It was so bad on both ends of the floor, and then they were giving up offensive rebounds, second-chance points, third opportunities on Oklahoma City's offensive end, and you're like, and this is all without Westbrook? God forbid if he played last night.
Oh, they lost by 40.
That's just it's just they've got to do something. I fear for Mike D'Antoni, though I don't think his job is in jeopardy. But, again, I revert back to the Lakers situation saying Magic's already taken Luke Walton behind the woodshed because of their quote-unquote slow start, but they weren't supposed to win a title this year or compete for one. This team's supposed to be one of the elite top four or five teams in all of basketball, and they're playing like a bottom feeder.
And where's the, like, where's the takeover mentality of the two stars? Like, if stuff's not working, if guys aren't hitting, if Melo's not hitting, like, where's James Harden to explode for 36, 40 points? Like, where's Chris Paul to just really tighten things up and get guys good looks and get them open shots? Like, it just doesn't seem like the effort's there. It doesn't seem like the defense is there. And then last night, the offense is missing. Score 80 points. It's just inexcusable. It's a tough look for the Rockets, and I do not envy Mike D'Antoni. I do not envy the job that he has going forward because it seems like it is getting into the territory of impossible to succeed if you're Mike D'Antoni.
And it's interesting because you say inexcusable, but all we get is excuses because Chris Paul has an awful night. You know what he said? My elbow's not feeling right. Now, is your elbow not feeling right because your ego got tarnished in the process of missing all those shots, or you got mad when you got the technical because you were banging it off of guys because it wasn't going your way, or is there legitimately a problem? Because you need to do something to try and rectify that quickly because there's already been too many issues, and we are just, you know, less than a quarter of the way into the season. So
it's bad. It's bad. And I don't know if it's going to get any better here any soon.
I don't either. And the schedule's not exactly lending itself to – hey, it's not Brooklyn and the Bulls coming up. It's the Spurs. It's the Pacers who have a little bit of the red ass because you beat them at their place. You got some games coming up where you better damn well be ready to play, and you can't afford any more injuries, and it's not just about Eric Gordon. So we're just getting started. You want to talk some Rockets? 713-780-3776 you can call, or you can text that number. You can also hit us up via Twitter where it's at @Cody_Stoots, or you can hit us up at the producer Nick or at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hi-ho! Here we go with the first hour of the show as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects on an Friday. Here in Beaumont. Now, we've had this discussion before, people, so you're a little late if you want to chime in now. We call it B-Town. We took a vote. We had people chime in. We had some funky responses, but the overwhelming number one was B-Town. If you want to text the show and tell me that that's not the case, you're a little late. You're a dollar short. You're a week or two behind schedule. So
all those things.
Carry on with your day.
All those things, yeah.
I just want you to know, Cody, that Nick is going ham on some wings this weekend.
What a strange thing to tweet just randomly in the middle of work.
I'm just in the mood for some wings. I'm just really in the mood for wings. And you guys are sitting here talking about Luke's Ice House and all the great food they have there, and I'm just hungry.
There is a cat on the deck eating better than you right now, Nick, as we have tweeted.
I know, I saw the picture.
How are you ever going to be the mayor of Beaumont if you don't make it out here?
Oh, he is the mayor. And believe me, his fan club is in front of us right now. So they are waving and saying hi to you, Nick. They miss you here. And there is no doubt if you were here, there would be more than wings and drummies for you to have if you were here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. There's no doubt about it.
Hello, B-Town, and I wish I was there for sure.
See, B-Town. Thank you, Nick. Very well played.
B-Town. Absolutely.
And the 409 texter can just go to hell. Nick, first of all, you watch a game last night?
The Rockets game, yeah. I watched, like I said, I stopped watching in the third quarter. You talking about the Steelers about game or the Rockets game?
Yeah, the football game.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the Steelers. I've always been kind of high on Roethlisberger. A part of it is because I have three Steelers on my fantasy team, but I've always been high on that team. So I'm glad they're doing well.
Yeah, you were worried about his finger, but there was no issues last night. Five touchdown passes, seven total touchdown passes. They put a 50-piece on a Carolina Panther team. That, let's be honest, fellas. I don't know how what you guys think about Carolina. I was not completely sold on them from the get, but last night proved to me, because everybody's saying, well, it was a short week. Both teams had a short week.
Right. That's always such a weird conversation point. Well, it's a short week. Yes, that both teams had.
So Pittsburgh on a short week comes up with a 50-piece, and Carolina comes up with excuses. I don't want to hear it, man. It tells me more about who Carolina is going forward than what I've already said about Pittsburgh. I've told you guys for weeks I believe that they're one of the best teams in the AFC. They're putting it together at the right time. I don't think they need Le'Veon Bell. And I think that the way they played last night sent a very clear message to the rest of the AFC, if not the rest of the NFL, that, hey, with that kind of skill set on the offensive side of the ball, and when Dupree and Watt are playing the way they're playing with pass rush, regardless of how bad their secondary is, they're going to be reckoned with before all is said and done in not just the AFC, in all of football, no matter how much a lot of people wanted to write them off early in the season.
I wrote about this for SportsMap this
morning. Oh, did you now?
And the AFC, look at what this playoff picture is shaking out to be. So you got New England, Kansas City, yep, obviously, and then San Diego's right there as far as win losses, but they're behind Kansas City, so that's your five.
You buying on? Are you in or out on San Diego?
I say San Diego. They're Los Angeles, and everybody does it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Are you in or out on Los Angeles?
The Chargers. Chargers. I guess the best way to do that. The Chargers. I'm in on the Chargers. I think they're really good. I think here's what I say. I think they're good enough to annoy the hell out of almost everybody they're going to play. I don't think they're New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh level.
I would
like
agree.
If I was gonna tier it out, they're in a tier away from those three teams.
If you're the Texans, you don't want to see the Chargers on any kind of a field other than, I think the actual Texans would be favored because of if it was wintry conditions. But if the Chargers have to come to NRG and the roof is closed, with all things being considered, if Bosa's coming back now and he's going to be a force on the defensive line to add to what is a above average secondary,
yep,
and Phillip Rivers is the quarterback, and if Melvin Gordon's still there and Allen's on the outside, I don't think you want any part of that.
By the way, they might get Hunter Henry back. They're tight end. Yep. They're stud young tight end.
The guy that tore the ACL before training camp, thought he was out for the year. That's why they brought Antonio Gates back.
Yeah.
If you get him back too and add him to the offense and realize the defense gets stops, if you're the Texans, you don't want any part of that, man.
That's why, and by the way, Pittsburgh has the edge on you because of that tie not being a loss. They've got that edge on you should things, you know, for the 3-4 seed, you if you're the Texans, you are trying your damnedest to make sure you get that 3 seed, because that 4 seed, while it's going to be a home game, it's likely going to be the loser of the AFC West. So you're either getting, like you said, the Chargers coming to town, or if for some reason the Chargers were able to sneak past the Chiefs into the top spot in the AFC West, then you got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Dome conditions where offenses thrive.
Ideal, right? And field turf, which is just like turf. They can explode on that, yep, as opposed to divots and wet crowns and, you know, a natural field conditions. So, yeah, I mean, look. I'm here to tell you, which I've said from the very get-go, Barry had him had the Texans in the top 10 this week. I can't do that. Because I look at them and I said, look, regardless of what the circumstances, they're a victim of circumstances to win six in a row. But that's important, and I give you that. But you still got about a half a season to go, and they just haven't been impressive where they've put it together on all three facets of the game and done the things that you need to do to be considered the upper echelon on team in a conference. They're in the driver's seat to win the division, but don't look in your rearview mirror, because Tennessee's not that far behind, and they still got you one more time. They beat you the first time. If they win that series, then a tie becomes an issue too. I just think that there's a lot of football to be played, and right now the contenders and the pretenders are pretty clear-cut when you talk about the top three in the AFC being the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Patriots.
Unless the Texans just start hanging big numbers on folks with offense and then unleash Watt and Clowney, I don't know that they're ever going to get anybody to buy fully in on them, because you look at what they have left for the rest of this season, and you're potentially facing a schedule where you'll face just two teams with a winning record. You know, obviously you're projecting a lot when you're going to say that, but Washington's going to have a winning record no matter what when you face them coming out of the bye.
Sure, right.
And then it's more than likely that Philly's going to have a winning record. The rest could very easily have a losing record. Your three AFC South opponents could have a losing record. Cleveland's going to have a losing record. And you're looking around, and the Jets are going to have a losing record. You're like, okay, well, who's Houston going to prove it against? They're not. That team's not on their schedule. Maybe Philly, because you got
Philly,
go,
and then depending on Jacksonville's situation when you play them.
Right. So you got to go to Philly, and then Jacksonville at home to end the season. So you could be proving it at the right time, getting going at the right time. But again, unless you're out there and you're the Texans hanging big numbers and, you know, holding people to 10 points or 7 points or 6 points, stuff like that, I don't know that anybody's going to truly get you that respect unless you go out there and you take that respect as you have this opportunity against these bad teams to go put these big numbers up. Put it all together, and then everybody will start taking notice. But as now, like, if somebody was going to tell me, okay, I'm picking the 8 best teams and I'm leaving the Texans out, like, I'd argue with you, but you'd have a solid argument to leave them out.
No doubt about it. And here's the other thing, and you and I were talking about this. The Jacksonville situation still, to me, is mesmerizing because of the fact that, like, they're at Indy this week and they're getting 3 points. That shouldn't happen. So the bigger question to me is, Sam Bradford's healthy. He was a healthy cut by the Arizona Cardinals. Why in the world have you not picked up the phone, Tom Coughlin, and gotten Sam Bradford down to Jacksonville and say, you definitely, even if you only have one arm, are better than what I got right now, and I'm trying to salvage a season? I don't understand why they haven't at least looked at him and or others and said, hey, we need to do something offensively. You're supposed to get Fournette back, but you're still not out of it in the division. And you can salvage this season, but sitting on your hands ain't going to get it done.
And you look at what Sam Bradford has done when he's actually had some iteration of success in his career. It's safe, easy stuff. They don't have a lot of pass-catching talent in Jacksonville. And, Joel, to have that against the Colts, and they're coming off of a bye, and they're doggies to the Colts, and Leonard Fournette's going to play.
It's
like,
mind-boggling.
That is an ugly look for a team that was supposed to be the AFC South favorite, and it's primarily because their quarterback is a joke. He's a joke in the NFL. It was embarrassing that they extended him, and I know they extended him to get like that little bit of extra cushion of money so they could go spend all this money in the offseason like they did. But the fact that he's the quarterback, there's not a significant backup behind him, and like you said, Sam Bradford's not already there, and maybe you couldn't get him there and get him ready for this week, but you'd at least have him heading into next week and getting things ready, because Bradford will at least take some easy stuff, hand the ball off well, and try not to make too many mistakes. They have to avoid calling certain plays because they don't trust Blake Bortles to not go in and make a mistake. He's making mistakes on easy stuff. At least Bradford can do some of that easy stuff and not screw it up like Bortles did.
Yeah, I mean, look, we always talk about sample sizes because of the bad Brock Osweiler experiment. But when Sam Bradford's healthy, you look at week one for the Vikings last year when he just went off and then the injury started to reoccur. But when he's healthy, if he's got a squad as good as Jacksonville's defense is, with the we talk about resources. They got good receivers. They got a good offensive line. They've got a really good running back that's coming back in Fournette. They just need someone, like you said, whether it's a game manager or above, better than Blake Bortles can get you into the playoffs where you can do some serious damage, where you did that a year ago, and it's not too late. But if you're just sitting on your hands, I think you're watching an opportunity slip right through your fingers.
And like you mentioned, you're not that far out of things in the AFC South, and you're not that far out of things in the AFC, because if you're Jacksonville, or even if you want to have the conversation and you want to entertain the Colts as one of those teams, which I don't, okay, the Bengals are 5-3, tough schedule coming up. Miami's got Brock Osweiler at quarterback. Baltimore's falling apart. Tennessee's got a rough schedule coming up. And, oh, by the way, there are the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts right there, 3-5. Still very much in the hunt for this thing for at least the sixth seed. And if you could salvage a season, if you're Jacksonville, and get to the sixth seed, beat out, say, Cincinnati or Baltimore or Tennessee, Miami, that's going to be an accomplishment from where you started. But you're not doing that with Blake Bortles as the quarterback.
I totally agree. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You can stop by and see us till 4, Blitz till 7. we'd all be happy to see you and share some good times on the deck. The heat lamps are out. Everybody's warm, insulated, and having some fun consuming some food and adult beverages. Some people still drinking from last night's Steeler win, and others just ready to enjoy the weekend. So stop on by and see us here in Beaumont, or join us via the phone and or Twitter or text message, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still 1 hour of the show upon us with two still to go. It's The Usual Suspects from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. As I mentioned, stop by and see us. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. Entertainment galore and happy hour pricing. All the way until 7 o'clock tonight, 250 Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, can't beat that. College football specials all day tomorrow, excuse me, including $3 Dos Equis drafts, Fireball Fridays, Cody. Fireball, I don't know if you got Fireballs, but Fireball Fridays, $4 Fireball shots. Shot of the day, $5 apple pie shots.
You know what you should do is you should take some of those Fireball shots, mix them with those apple pie shots, and then you got like a nice little tasty dessert shot.
When are you going to put the a la mode on it? Because I can feel you going all ice creamed out on this.
Oh,
thing
just go
too.
Just go get some Kahlua. It's like a little chocolate ice cream there on top.
And you're going to be having more than chocolate ice cream in the men's room, too, if you keep adding all those concoctions
together.
I
don't
together.
Recommend
I'm just
doing
you know that right
more
now.
Than one of those.
Yeah, I don't recommend you do any of those. But if you want to stick to one, that's probably a good call. Because if you stick to others, you might need some X-Lax or Kaopect. I don't know what the hell you need, but you're going to need a doctor. So we were talking a little bit about the football and basketball before we hit the break. Lots more coming out of it. We've had this discussion, people. I don't need to happen again. You can text all you want. I've been to Beaumont how many times now? I love Beaumont and the people of Beaumont, but I don't get big money. That's what they call Beaumont, big money?
No.
Stop it. Stop it right now. Big money to me is all the foo-foo people in Dallas with the skyline and you know and the stupid reality shows and everything like that that goes with the people that have to show their money. Beaumont people are real. I don't need big money. Now, Donna gives us the Mont. I can go with the Mont.
The Mont.
It's okay, but
sure.
B-Town, just it rolls off the tongue.
Works.
It
yeah.
fits. It's good. It's short. It's sweet. I'll go with that. So, again, enough of the text messages for the day. We're done.
If somebody says you're going to – like, I am going to Big Money, they may drop a who, or they may not even have a good guess. But you say B-Town, like, do you mean Beaumont? Yes, of course I mean Beaumont because it's B-Town.
And by the way, where is Donna? Because last time we gave her a pass, you haven't met Donna yet, sweetest lady on the planet. She's normally here. Last time we were here, she was out of town. Now she's texting the show, which means she's listening to the show, which means I want to know why she's not here the show.
Damn it, Donna.
It's bothering me right now because I know that the Pope-mobile will be pulling up very soon, and no, you do not have to pray to the porcelain god or otherwise. The Popes will be here because they've already let us know a day ago. They want to know who the hell you are, but whenever we're here, they're here, and it's our time, so
gotcha.
I appreciate that as well.
Gotcha.
As we continue to roll on, Fred and AJ will be here as well as they take the blitz here from 4 to 7. And they have quite the following as well. So we'll continue to talk about sports and other things. Other things on the map last night. Here's the other thing I don't like, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about something from the game last night.
Okay.
Do you think they should have ejected Reed for that hit on Big Ben?
I don't. I get the I can go with intent, right? I can see that on first glance at real speed. But if you look at it, and this is where I have a real issue with the fact that the NFL, if they're going to do this, they got to go to replay every single time, and they got to realize, I don't think there was any contact, like really hard contact on that play.
It looked a lot worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Real time, real speed, just watching it with the naked eye, it looked like it was could have been nasty. But when you look at it on replay, I'm like, I understand the penalty, but I don't think the ejection.
Like, I don't think the – like, obviously, he touched him and the head went back. But I don't think there was a lot of force behind that. Like, I think it was just Ben's momentum, his momentum. And then when the momentum's, you know, combined,
it's a lot of momentum,
science,
by the way.
Science, yeah. Ben's head snaps back. Also, if you're going to eject a guy for that hit.
Did you think he should have been ejected?
No.
Okay.
No. But if you are, how does the opposing player not immediately go into concussion protocol?
Fair point, especially because that's all based on assumptions, assuming that what they saw with the naked eye was contact to the head and neck, right?
It was, yeah, it was contact to the head and neck. And then when you watched Ben Roethlisberger's head, not only did it snap back really quick, it also hit the ground.
Mm-hmm. And, which could have caused something.
And he's right up there taking the next snap, and it's like, okay, well, if we're going to eject guys for hits to the head and with intent and hits to the head, even though I didn't agree with it, how do we not snag that guy off the field and at least give him the three questions and the, you know, the pin in his eyes?
Well, and here's my overall 2 cents on just the rule and the call and everything on the pro level too, which is, yes, I'd like to see replay more involved in it, but more so than anything else, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to look out for the player, the long-term effects, the CTE, right, all those things. But at the same time, you have to take into consideration, you have two guys moving at a very high rate of speed. And with your body and the momentum and everything that you got going, if a player changes directions, now Ben may, because one of the arguments is Ben stayed upright too long. But when Ben finally decided to start going down into the slide, Reed's already projecting himself at what he thought was an upward target.
Yep.
So when he makes contact, he's not hitting where he thought he was going to hit when he launches himself. So you got to take that into consideration. I read the quotes afterwards because Pouncey got in on him. A lot of people were coming at him, and he said, and all of them said to a man, he said he wasn't trying. He apologized for one and said, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. And they were like, so we're all cool with it.
And watch Reed's body. You can see he was trying to adjust away because he does a full flip after he touches Ben.
Yep.
And then you mentioned DeCastro got in his face, and then the rest of the Steelers' offensive line got it. And then that dirty, no good former Florida Gator.
I detect a little personal vendetta here.
Pouncey has his hand all in Reed's.
In the face mask.
In his face mask, like grabbing at his face, like, dude, get out of here with that. If the league doesn't see that and there's not, you know, 10 or 15 G's coming out of his pocket, like, that's atrocious. Like, you can't do that to another NFL player.
And the thing that you bring up is also something that needs to be mentioned, which is if you're going to watch what you think you saw in the play itself, then you have to do the same due diligence to watch what goes on after the play is over.
Yeah.
Because you're right. There's enough officials on the field to be able to see a grown-ass man's hand underneath the face mask trying to do dental work on a guy from the other team. So they just have to do a better job overall. I understand the spirit of the rule, but I think in that particular case, I didn't think he warranted being ejected.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, of course, you're going to see the conspiracy theories pop up. Well, look who got ejected.
Kneeling in I get it, but I don't get it.
I'm not buying any of those. I love a good conspiracy theory, but I'm not buying any of those.
Yeah, I'm not either. And so, you know, in a nutshell, it could have been an ugly situation. But the fact that even with all that people saw, they had to understand, like the Steelers did, dude was ready to apologize as soon as the play was over. And was making sure everyone knows.
And then
that was not my intent.
Reed and Ben dapped it up on the way off the field.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So his apology obviously was genuine in their mind, and they were able to move on. I thought the league should have been able to move on too. And like I said, if you're not going to be able to really delve deep into it with replay and otherwise and take everything into consideration, that ejection seemed to me to be a little bit much.
Yeah, way too much. Little over-reactionary from the NFL. And frankly, the question I would have, if that was Sunday afternoon at about 2:30 when that happened, does he get ejected?
Good point, because it's not national TV. It's not right there on the big stage for everybody to see.
Right. The only thing going on in the football world at that very moment is at the pro level, and everybody sees it. And then, I mean, the Twitter was just, you know, you could immediately see people like, oh, man, look at that hit. And if that's a Sunday afternoon game, I don't know if they do the big dog and pony show.
Absolutely valid point, because again, don't think that just like the players know when they're on the big show, on national TV. Don't think the referees don't know that, too. Because there has been look, in Sunday Night Football, and I didn't take any kind of homage with it simply because of the fact that the Patriots won the game fair and square. But there were some calls early on in the Green Bay-New England game, too, that I said, same thing. Open-handed slap to the face mask. That's not an ejection anywhere else other than Sunday Night Football.
Right.
There's going to be some calls that are going to be elevated because of the stage that they're on that otherwise would be just like an afterthought going, next play, let's go. Maybe a penalty, that's it.
Right.
So very valid points there that you make, my friend. Nick, I do see that our man KJ, Kevin Joseph, on board with us on the Cherry Coke Zero. So
yeah.
It's time for you to get on board, brother. You know, just like Granada with his Coors Light. Get on board, brother. It's time for you to get on board with that Cherry Coke Zero.
I'm all about trying new soda, but I just can't get myself used to Cherry Coke. I can't, especially Cherry Coke Zero. Just can't do it.
So you drink Mr. Pibb.
I do.
You drink Dr. Pepper.
I do.
You drink Dr. Thunder, which is only good in Oklahoma City. And yet you won't drink Coke Zero, Cherry Coke Zero.
Cherry Coke Zero.
And it's worth noting, the prevailing note in Pibb is a spicy cherry note.
I don't know why that matters. What the hell are you talking
about?
Well,
he said he didn't like Cherry Coke, but the prevailing flavor in Pibb is spicy cherry.
But it's still cherry.
Right, but he's saying he didn't like Cherry Coke, so like I thought it was the cherry thing that he didn't like. But he likes Pibb, which is a cherry-flavored drink.
I see what you're saying. It just the cherry flavor and Cherry Coke Zero, just it's different to me.
Well, you're going to get a 2-liter next week.
And the bottom line is Nick's not about the cherry. Just letting you know, man. Nick's taking care of business, man. He ain't got time for all that. All right, we got one in the books. We got two to go with the big show. Still plenty to talk about. If you want to get in here on the show, 713-780-3776, where you can call or text. You can also hit us up via Twitter. We're happy to hear the usual suspects on a regular basis. Hopefully you are happy to take us along for the ride right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.